Welcome back, 1244, 1260 WRC, Andy Parks live from the Washington Times. Happy Monday. All right, let's see who's... Oh, Valerie Richardson's on the line, Washington Times national reporter. She has a story in today's Washington Times. It's called, This Land is Whose Land? Nevada Ranch Standoff Reveals Bigger Fight Over Federally Owned Land. Valerie joins me now. Hi, Val.
Hey, Andy, how are you?
Doing just fine. I guess the federal government owns a giant piece of American real estate. Do we know how much they do own?
They own about 640 million acres nationwide, but the vast, vast majority of that is in the West, like 90%. The way it came down was that, you know, when states would join the union, they would receive most of the land, but at first be federally owned, and then the federal government would eventually pass it on to them. And so you have, you know, states like Iowa, for example, or Connecticut, with less than 1% of their land being owned by the federal government. But it didn't shake out that way in the West. The federal government continues to own enormous percentages of land in the West. For example, in Nevada, over 80%. And the pressures on that are really starting to come to a fore because the federal government, you know, has always tried to maintain in the past sort of a multiple-use approach where people can use the federal land to make a living, you know, timber, mining, natural gas extraction, that sort of thing. But, you know, increasingly the environmental agenda is being pushed at the federal level, and they're cutting off access and putting on a lot of extra restrictions and rules, and people are having a tough time making a living on the land, and when that's the only land you've got, it's a difficult situation.
All right, so what's happening now? Some states appear to resent it more and more, and they're trying to take steps to correct it?
Yeah, in Utah in particular, Utah is leading this drive. Even though, you know, the Bundy Ranch in Nevada has gotten all the attention, you really have to look at Utah to see what's happening. They passed, their governor signed 2 years ago, a bill basically saying we are going to start working with the federal government to reacquire the land that is within our borders but that is federally owned, basically saying we want the federal land in our borders. And, you know, the federal government can basically laugh that off or, you know, not pay attention. But, it, you know, when you have the entire state legislature and the governor signing this, it shows that it's pretty serious. And a similar measure was passed in Arizona at about the same time. Now, that one got vetoed. But you are seeing a lot of these efforts and a lot of this these sort of calls because they're having a tougher and tougher time getting access. You have, you know, the people on the other side would, of course, say, well, I mean, the argument you hear a lot, which, you know, you hear from, example, former BLM director Pat Shea, is that, well, the states can't be trusted with this land. They'll just run roughshod over it. They'll, you know, put up a bunch of condos, I mean, you know, in, you know, the Grand Canyon. I mean, who knows? You know, they,
right.
They have these nightmare scenarios. But the states are saying, you know, look, we actually know how to take care of the land better than you do. We're the ones who live here. It's a bigger deal to us. And you need to stop treating us basically like I don't know, you know, like the nanny state.
Mm-hmm. And they also had a beef with Bill Clinton, didn't they, the folks in Utah?
Well, that's kind of, I think, why the whole thing has begun in Utah, is because the Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument was Bill Clinton, two, 3 months before his reelection in 1996, basically, cordoned off 1.7 to 8 million acres of Utah federal land and said, this is now a national monument. And, you know, the federal government could do that. And you've seen a lot of that lately. It's very popular when they do that. People come out and it's like, oh, it's a new national monument or new national park or what have you. But that means that now you can't use that land for what you were doing before. And there was apparently a great deal of coal underneath that that Grand Staircase area that now they can't get access to. So it sounds good, but what you're essentially doing is saying you no longer can make a living on this piece of property. It's you know, we're going to rope it off. And, you know, that was actually the biggest, I think, national monument that had ever been created, and it was an enormous piece of Utah. And, yeah, that's why they in particular are kind of upset because they didn't see it coming. Apparently they got notice like 24 hours beforehand that it was going to happen.
Wow. And this, of course, looked great to the environmental crowd.
Oh, yeah.
You know, for Bill Clinton's benefit. Man, oh, man. All right, now speaking of Democrats, there are some Democrats that aren't happy with the government's handling of federal land, right? I mean, I think you mentioned Montana Governor Steve Bullock.
Yeah, I mean, in the West, you know, the federal government handling the land tends to be a bipartisan issue.
Yeah.
You do see Democrats, you know, Western Democrats who are also not happy with the way that, they feel like they're getting less and less control over land within their borders, whereas the federal government is putting more and more restrictions and rules on it. And, you know, in order to basically, you know, conform to environmental regulations, which tend to grow every year, Endangered Species Act, I mean, you know, the sage grouse, the lesser prairie chicken, these animals get put on the threatened or endangered list and they never come off. And everywhere they live, you suddenly have your hands are tied as to whether you can use that land. And it's great for environmentalists because it's a way of basically stopping, you know, resource development in a lot of these places. But, you know, if you're trying to make a living, it's kind of tough.
Mm-hmm. All right, back to the Bundy Ranch for a minute. On Friday, some folks associated with the family filed criminal complaints against the government and its agents. On what grounds? Do you know?
They basically, assault was one of them. They feel like the government came in and, you know, it went beyond its scope by, for example, tasering Amon Bundy, who is one of the sons of Clive and Bundy, and they feel like that they should be prosecuted. So they went to the Clark County Sheriff, and there was, you know, a press conference and everything, and said, hey, we're filing criminal complaints, and we want you to pursue them. Now, you know, whether that's going to happen is another story. I mean, you would think the federal government generally, you know, it's pretty tough to prosecute them and that kind of thing. But I think what the Bundys are doing is making a statement that, you know, you went way beyond what you were supposed to be doing. Now, obviously, the Bundy family has lost a lot of sympathy with some of the remarks that Clive and Bundy made last week regarding race. But having said that, they're still pushing their argument here, and on things like the federal government overreach, I think there's still sympathy on that matter. I mean, a lot of people, you know, watch the government come in, you know, guns blazing and, you know, ATVs and everything, and you know, to get on this guy's ranch. He's a 68-year-old rancher, and I think that issue, one thing that, you know, so people who are critical of the government's overreach, what they would consider the overreach in this matter are concerned about is that, you know, that issue is going to be forgotten, and so they're trying to remind people, hey, it's still a big deal.
Mm-hmm. All right, and one final thing before I let you run today. I noticed you posted a story a little while ago on the pro-Keystone XL pipeline ads. Evidently, they've just started in a few states?
Yeah, they've got them in 5 states. They're targeting Democratic senators. There looks like, you know, they may have a Senate vote on this, so Harry Reid may put it on the agenda. It would be a binding bill in support of building the Keystone XL pipeline. And so the American Petroleum Institute is running these ads saying, you know, support this thing because it does enjoy overwhelming public support in terms of polls. Now, you know, obviously there's a lot of opposition to it, however, in the environmental community, and that is a key Democratic constituency. So it's going to be sort of a battle royale there, but the APA is trying to weigh in. I also saw that apparently today an environmental group, 350.org, is going to be protesting at a lot of these senators' offices, telling them not to vote for the Keystone XL pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what happens with that.
Yeah, and it's interesting to me because I had just read a story before going on the air today that West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin declared this morning that we have the votes to pass this. And so, you know, here's a Democrat and here's a guy that, you know, was basically telling the world that, hey, if it comes up for vote in the Senate, it's going to pass.
Well, and, you know, Manchin is, you know, one of your more conservative Democrats, and obviously he's very pro-pipeline. And, you know, they passed a non-binding resolution a year ago with 52 votes. So you'd think they would have the votes there. The question, and, you know, some of these senators, like Mary Landrieu, for example, they desperately need this vote.
Yeah, no kidding.
So you know, it would really benefit them. But the question is that going to outweigh kind of the damage you're going to do maybe to senators who haven't really come out on it and don't really want to vote in favor of the Keystone XL pipeline and also face re-election, like, for example, Colorado's Mark Udall.
Mm-hmm.
He's really avoided making any statement on this, but he voted against the resolution last year, and if he's got a vote, and if he winds up voting against it again, that could hurt his prospects. So it's a balancing act here.
Yep, sure is. All right, well, Valerie, I'm out of time. Thank you very much for coming on today, as always, and we'll talk again.
Thanks a lot, Andy.
See you. Valerie Richardson, Washington Times national reporter, got a story in today's paper. This land is whose land? Nevada Ranch standoff reveals bigger fight over federally owned land. And as I mentioned just a few minutes ago, she posted a story at WashingtonTimes.com on the Keystone Pipeline. It is 12:53, 12:60, WRC. Andy Parks live from the Washington Times.